All right, well, let's get back to the hotline as we bring in the second guest of today's show. Here's our Hollywood guru, the one and only Al Harris. Al, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, guys. Been a while. Good to hear your voices again.
Yeah, likewise, my friend. Good to hear your voice as well. And we have a lot to talk about today. And I want to begin with that very, very busy box office this weekend. Godzilla came out on top, netting nearly $50 million. There were certainly a lot of options at the box office. But why do you think this Godzilla movie in particular, while it made some money, is being crushed by critics?
Well, I think from what I've heard, and kind of the same thing that the last Godzilla had, that it looks great, and kind of the same issue the last Jurassic Park had, too, right? It looks fantastic. The fights are great, but there's no story. That was the problem with the last one. And that's the problem with a lot of these action movies that, like, look phenomenal, but just basically zero story, right? And so it seems like, yeah, critics are really harping down on that, and as one of the few people who liked the last Godzilla, I'm okay with that, man. Godzilla's fighting three monsters. I don't really need a huge backstory, right? I prefer a movie with a great story, but I'm not going to a Godzilla movie for, you know, character arcs. I'm going to see some monsters destroy some cities and destroy other monsters. That's why it got crushed, but it's not going to stop me from seeing, I'll tell you that much. I didn't get a chance last weekend, but I will see it eventually.
I've got to throw this other movie at you as well, only because earlier today in the office, Douglas and I are talking about, you know, how some of these biopics might be losing some steam.
It's Matt mentioned the same movie every time.
So you have Matt's stance on this. And, of course, Rocket Man debuts at $25 million in its opening weekend. Does Matt have a point here?
Oh, he does, 100%. Well, and we've talked about this in the past. Like, Bohemian Rhapsody was a joke and kind of showed how, like, all these biopics are basically just the same. But from what I've heard, Rocket Man does things a little differently. It's actually a really good biopic. Again, didn't get a chance to get to the theater this weekend, so I missed it. But I've heard great things because I think people are still interested in biopics. Obviously, that box office number doesn't say the same, but in something that's a little different. And you have some good biopics that don't follow, you know, the normal trajectory. And so I'm glad to see that Rocket Man didn't do that, from what I've heard. Because I think people are getting sick of, like, the same paint-by-numbers. Like, Ray was great. The performance was amazing. But the story was, like, the same, right? Same with Walk the Line. Same with Bohemian Rhapsody. And, I mean, I was reading an article this week because it's, I think, the 10-year anniversary of Walk Hard. And Walk Hard was fantastic because it took what was the formula back then, made fun of it to a great degree, and yet we're still seeing that formula out. So, yeah, I think people are definitely sick of the same old biopic. They're basically TV movies, right, to a larger audience. That's what Bohemian Rhapsody was.
That's a good point.
But, like I said, Rocket Man is supposed to be different. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't really speak on that, but from all the reviews and everything, it seems like it's definitely a little different.
I guess in my stance, too, it seems like a ploy to try and get the music back out there and people to kind of get back into it. And I'm not a big Elton John fan, so maybe that's why I'm a little sour on this one, in my opinion.
Well, I'm the same way. But his life's kind of interesting, even though I don't like enough of the songs, but you're right. That was the whole point of the Queen thing, right? They made so much money off the old album, bringing those back. It's a great business idea because, yeah, you can get music. But you're still paying for the rights and all that stuff. It depends. Like, there's a movie coming out, I think, this year. Basically, it's about a young Pakistani kid in London in the 80s who becomes, like, obsessed with Bruce Springsteen. And so they are using all of his music in there, and that's a way of, like, I think, still getting the music out there, getting people interested in the music again without making a boring film.
Yeah.
And without doing a Springsteen biopic. I think that's more interesting. And you saw that Beatles movie coming out that Danny Boyle was directing yesterday where the Beatles never existed and this guy starts writing their music, basically. Again, an interesting idea. And changing it up a little bit so it's not the same old, same old. And then having, you know, showcasing the music. You take Beatles songs, you put them on the Yesterday soundtrack. They're not doing anything. They're just selling Beatles music, but they're making the money off it. So I think that whole idea is a lot more interesting to me than the same old cookie cutter biopic.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'd like to see more original music, like Mamma Mia, or what was it, Moulin Rouge had some up-to-date music type stuff in it anyway.
Exactly.
Okay, see, that it's interesting, and I did see the previews for the movie that you had alluded to a few minutes ago with the Pakistani kid in the 1980s getting into the boss, and you're right, that's a nice, interesting, different twist on this because it does bring that music back to the forefront, but it tells the story of a kid who thoroughly enjoyed that movie back in the 80s that you would have never expected. So I agree with that perspective because, again, it's a different take on this for sure. All right, this Sunday, my friend, Big Little Lies 2. They are debuting the second season. Should we be excited about season 2? Season 1 was very, very popular.
I think you should be excited if you like season 1. I don't think it's going to bring in like new converts. Because what it was based on a book. The book's over, so they're starting this. It was supposed to be a one-off miniseries, and people loved it, so they decided to do a second season. So, as we've seen with Game of Thrones and other things, when you go off book, it doesn't always hold up. And now they're creating an entirely new story that wasn't based on a book. So it could be hit or miss. I think it'll be – the cast is still fantastic. They added Meryl Streep. It's going to be, I think, more kind of soap opera-y, you know, like kind of like a nighttime soap more. A lot of overacting. Meryl Streep's fantastic, but she's a huge overactor at this point in her career. So I think you'll see a lot of that. But, yeah, I think it's basically more of the same, and people that really enjoyed the first season are going to enjoy the second season. Again, if you didn't enjoy the first season, I wouldn't watch the second season and be like, oh, maybe this will change my point of view. It seems more like a watered-down version of the first season, but I'm all for it. So I'm still... Even though I sound lukewarm on it, I'm still very excited because the acting chops in that show is remarkable. Nicole Kidman was lights out that first season. I enjoy everything Reese Witherspoon does. So, yeah, I'm excited for it, and we'll see how it does.
Do you think this has become the new formula? I know HBO's really done well with this. Game of Thrones was based on a book. Big Little Lies is, you mentioned. I know they've got a Watchmen series coming out. Nosferatu's now on AMC. Walking Dead was even, I think, a graphic novel at one time, too. Is this kind of the way people are making the TV series these days?
Oh, yeah, it has been for a while, right? There's still room to do original stuff. But, yeah, if you can get a good, especially now with, the way, you know, TV has morphed into, you can take, it actually makes more sense to take like a huge book and turn it into a long TV series instead of a movie because you have more time to really capture the characters, build out. Because, I mean, any book you read and then you see the movie, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, it's great, but they left some parts out, you know, the characters didn't breathe as much, blah, blah. So you do long form, you know, limited series, or like I said, with graphic novels, you have a lot to make, you know, multiple series. So yeah, it's a great avenue for it, especially like Game of Thrones, and you have a fantasy book. Like, I don't know, I love the Lord of the Rings movies, but maybe it would have been better as a TV series. I don't know. So it's nothing new, but it's definitely not going away.
Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, Al, there's a miniseries on Netflix that is drawing a lot of fire called The Central Park Five. This is a pretty interesting story. What can you tell us about this miniseries?
Well, first I'll tell you, it's actually called When They See Us. It's about the Central Park Five. Central Park Five was a documentary about the Central Park Five, but this is basically it's about five kids. I forget when exactly, I think it was like 60s or 70s, probably 70s, who were in Central Park when a woman was beaten and raped, and they were falsely accused. These five teenagers, who all were African-American, were falsely accused for it, ended up in jail, and then, you know, not a spoiler alert, so I'm not going to say how it ended, but it's a very well-known story. And so this is a web or a limited series. It's 4 episodes, directed by Ava DuVernay, who's fantastic. Did Selma, Wrinkle in Time, which is not good, but everything else she's done has been good. And so, and this is right in her wheelhouse. She's very good with the racial, you know, that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, it looks fantastic. The cast is great. I haven't seen it yet. I've heard really good things and kind of opening up more of a discussion, which I think is what she wanted with this. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited to finally see it. But like I said, everything I've heard has been, like, outstanding. So I'm not shocked with everyone that was involved and the story it's based on. But, again, it's definitely on my queue to watch very soon.
Very good stuff, my friend. Well, before we let you go, we need to find out what else we should put in the queue for this week. What do you have for this week's Picks to Click?
Well, obviously, Big Little Lies comes out on Sunday. There was a show last night that I haven't seen. I don't even know how to watch it. It's on Epix, but it sounds right up my alley. It's like a Southern Gothic neo-noir limited series called Perpetual Grace Limited, starring Ben Kingsley as some crazy preacher, Jackie Weaver, who's fantastic, Jimmy Simpson. It looks right up my alley. I just have no idea even how to watch Epix, so I don't know how I'll be able to get to watch it. But that came out last night, got decent reviews, and then, you know, I haven't been with you in a while, so there's just catching up on all the other stuff that's been on Netflix. I Think You Should Leave, which was a sketch comedy show that came out recently that I think is absolutely hilarious if you like that kind of humor. And then, yeah, just Cobra Kai came out. I finally watched that. That was a lot of fun. So there's a lot of stuff to watch. But as far as things that are coming out this week, obviously Big Little Lies is the big one.
Very good stuff. Al, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time from here on out. I think we should just call you Hollywood Harris. I think that's a better moniker to go by. You okay with that?
I can live with that.
All right, very nice. Well, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. We'll do this again next week.
All right, sounds good, man.
Thanks, Al. Again, Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.